Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, 8 Key Elements of an Employee Handbook. Several months ago, Mike Wallenfang provided a presentation covering onboarding new employees. During that presentation, he touched on the need for an employee handbook. This presentation will dig a bit deeper into that topic.
It sure does, Bill. Mike outlines the 8 key elements that need to be in any employee handbook. He also points out that it doesn't matter if you have 4, 40, or 140 employees. The basic need's the same. The overall objective is to create uniformity within the workplace. After all, how can employees meet expectations if they don't know what the expectations are?
Oh, that's right, Tom. You know, this presentation is really in an interview format where I had the opportunity to ask Mike multiple questions. I think our listeners will find this presentation extremely helpful if they, A, either already have a handbook, or B, they're considering creating one. Today's presenter is Mike Wallenfang. Mike has a strong background, having worked in manufacturing for over 30 years in a variety of management roles. The past 16 years of his career, he served as a full-time human relations director, which has provided the background necessary for today's discussion. And now with 8 key elements of an employee handbook, here is Mike Wallenfang with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
All right, Mike, let's start with the beginning. What are some of the questions that we have to be thinking about?
Well, Bill, let's start out first by asking, does your company have a handbook? If you do, why do you have a handbook? If you don't, why not? Let's understand the risk of not having one is an important question to ask yourself. And then understanding the risk of having one and having an outdated one or one that's incorrect.
Well, that's a challenge. You could be in trouble if you don't have one. You could be in trouble if you have one.
And, absolutely,
and
yes.
My guess is that's some of what you're going to be digging into here today.
Yes, yes. I've experienced that both ways with employers that I've worked for in the past. And it's a challenge. It certainly is a challenge. And in this ever-changing world that we're working in right now, the rules are changing constantly. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we have what we need. And it's the right stuff that we have in the handbook. So
my guess is that's a little bit of a foreshadowing of something you're going to talk about, is that you can't just publish one and then say I'm done with that project and go on.
You're absolutely right.
All right.
And what I would suggest is consider this handbook a guideline to your success. It's another tool to let your staff know that you have your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It lets your staff know that you have concerns about their well-being, and how much you appreciate them.
Sure.
If you have rules and policies in place, that means that you care about the people that are working for you. So it's certainly something that goes a long way. And if you don't have one, consider those things. Think about that. Make sure that you want your people to know this is what we're all about. Right, and I want to get into that a little bit too later on in the broadcast here.
Good.
So,
all right. So let's start at the beginning.
All right. So many reasons they have a handbook. If you choose to call it a handbook, I mean, you could obviously go with something as simple as an information guide. It depends on how you want to approach your staff. All right. Keep in mind that the state and federal government doesn't require you to have a handbook. But also keep in mind that there are policies and procedures that the government does hand out, mandates and so on, that you have to communicate to your employees in one way, shape, or form. So you could do something as simple as posting it on a wall or in an information board. It's a nice tool to have. It's an additional piece of information. But at the same time, are you going to make sure that all your employees get in touch with that? Are they all going to see what you're posting? Are they all going to see what your particular information is?
I would imagine, especially if they're not in the shop every day, right? I mean,
correct.
Yeah, they're working in the field someplace. Are they going to notice that you posted a new one up on the bulletin board at some point?
Yeah, if you're working in a decentralized situation, it's very difficult to get that information to them. One thing I would recommend that if you do have to form a different type of communication, whether it's email, faxing, texting, however it may be, make sure you get a signed document from that employee that they received it. That's something that's very critical. You'll find that out if you ever have to go into litigation. And believe me, you don't want to get into that. I've been down that road a couple times in my career. Litigation is difficult with the state, but it's more difficult when you get in front of a federal adjudicator. Documentation is critical. And I'm going to go back to saying, even if you don't have a handbook, that documentation for whatever information you're handing to your employees, make sure that you keep it on file somewhere where it's readily available. You never know when an audit's going to come. You never know when somebody's going to come back and say, hey, you remember when you told me this? No, I don't, because I don't have that piece of paper. Always good to have documentation. So
for that reason alone, I would think that a handbook versus the bulletin board method might be a little bit more solid, if you will, because at least I know, here, this is what I shared with you.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Let's take a look at making sure that what you put in that handbook is what should be in the handbook. There are things that obviously you want to have in there. Things that the government says you can't have in there. And when you get to that point, I would suggest, and I suggested in the last document that we did, make sure that you have legal counsel to go back to. They certainly can tell you what's right and what's wrong. I know there's always a question, what should I have in or what can I put in there? Make sure that the process that you're developing this handbook with is following the guidelines of what the government says you should and shouldn't have in there.
So okay? It's not a bad idea to have your corporate attorney take a quick glance at it before you distribute it to everybody and put it into action.
Right. I would recommend about every 2 years, if you do create a handbook or if you currently have one, about every 2 years, have somebody take a look at that from the legal side. Some people would disagree and say 3 years is soon enough, but with everything that's changing in our world with the pandemic and other things that have gone on as far as unemployment and all those rule changes, it's something that you certainly should have another set of eyes on.
Sure. So there again, that idea of creating it once and just putting it in the file doesn't really cut it. Now, again, let me just ask this question on that specific topic, because you said every 2 years or so we should have it, have it reviewed again.
Correct.
So that basically meaning that even though it was approved 2 years ago, the stuff that was legal 2 years ago may not be applicable today.
The stuff that may have been legal 2 years ago may be not legal 6 months after that first time that you have it reviewed.
Okay.
So the rules are changing constantly. You need to make sure that you're on top of those things. The last thing you want to do is sit in front of any type of a legal counsel or adjudicator of any type and find out that what you had in your handbook was superseded by something else from years gone past.
Sure.
So.
Okay, good.
You mentioned, too, I wanted to talk a little bit quick about bulletin boards. They're certainly great to have, and that information that you put out there. What you also want to be cautious about with your bulletin boards is making sure you have rules and regulations for your internal people on that. You don't want to be posting stuff that shouldn't be out there. Obviously, you don't want people soliciting for certain things if that's part of your policy. You certainly don't want stuff posted that might be politically or racially oriented to offend any of your other employees. So, so keep that in mind when you're using that type of communication tool, particularly if you're not going to create a handbook or a information guide.
Okay. Very good. The way it sounds, though, you said it's a good idea to have a bulletin board, to have some stuff posted, and some of the legal items that we do have to have posted need to be there, but that's not necessarily a good substitute for a good handbook.
No, because what you don't want to have happen is have an employee sitting in front of, whether it's a human resource or a manager, and being reprimanded or disciplined for something that they're not aware of, okay? Well, it was on the bulletin board. Well, I don't work in that department. I don't get into that building. So how was I supposed to be aware of that?
So. And I think that point about posting things that really go against your policy are interesting. Just a real quick tidbit. I know one particular contractor I worked with, at one point visited a different church on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, they just happened to have a bulletin board, and he's walking around just looking at some of the stuff on the bulletin board, and lo and behold, finds a business card for HVAC services from one of his employees. Mm-hmm. So not services for his company. This guy was doing side work and had the audacity to actually pin up a business card for his own side work at his church. So interesting discussions on Monday morning.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. Let's talk about that real quick about the legal side of things. I know everybody looks at that and goes, oh my God, now I got to pay an attorney, or I've got to go see somebody, mm-hmm. and it's going to cost me, you know, possibly $3 to $1,000. It's a small price to pay when you sit in front of an adjudicator and you don't have the proper documentation, or like I said earlier, the incorrect documentation, mm-hmm. It can be a lot more costly. So, you know, attorneys aren't always all that bad.
Mm-hmm.
They're good to have by your side most of the time, particularly if they're fighting for you, sure. not against you.
Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. And again, some of those are they're costs of doing business, aren't they?
Yes. Right?
So you're going to pay for it to keep yourself out of trouble, or you're going to pay big time to get yourself out of trouble?
And the big time one is the one you probably want to stay away from.
That's right. So okay, good.
Don't want to cut into those profits.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about how we should develop that handbook. I've got 8 particular highlighted areas that I'd like to talk about, and the first one is the introduction. The introduction to that handbook is what I would look at and say, this is what's going to jazz your new employees up or your current employees up when they get that handbook, particularly if you didn't have one and now you want to generate one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to what I said earlier, it's going to allow your employees to understand that you really do care.
Sure.
And you want to make sure that they're in a safe working environment and that their legal rights are covered. So in that first part of the introduction, I would add things like, maybe what separates you from your competition, or how did the company get here? Mm-hmm. What did we do to get here? What's our history, our roots? Tell me about how the business started. The employees, they may not seem interested in that at first, but as they look at that and if they become long-term employees, they start looking back and saying, this wasn't a bad decision to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, I know you and I talked about we've had a couple different changes in our career over time, and you had one where you spent several years with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there was a reason you stayed there.
Yep.
Maybe it wasn't particularly the handbook, but it was the way they treated you and they followed their policies.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt.
So keep those things in mind. Just a couple of other things that you also want to ask yourself, what kind of culture do we want to tell these people we work in?
Mm-hmm.
What's our culture? What's it all about? How do we get them engaged?
Mm-hmm. So, one particular handbook that, in fact, my first one, right, really wasn't, I don't know that I'd call it fully a handbook because I really didn't put out necessarily policies, but did jump in, do that same thing. What's the history? How did we get here?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's kind of what you're talking about in this section
yes.
here, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Good. Well, as you go through some of these, the next chunk of these, I'm going to be thinking back to that original one and see what I made or what I missed.
I'm ready for your question.
All right.
When you're done here.
Very good. What's number two?
Number two is communicating to the employees your expectations, possibly the understanding of their roles, what part they play in the team and in the atmosphere that you want to present to them. Also, there's this section of where do I go? Define who they need to see and when they need to see them. What their questions might be, give them the directions so they know who to encounter when certain situations come up. You certainly don't want somebody going to the wrong source. The last person you want going to the janitor with a human resource issue, right?
Sure.
And that might get posted on the bulletin board after you talk to the janitor, so you want to be cautious with that, all right? So let's make sure you go to the right source, all right?
And I would think with that one also, that would help alleviate some issues of an employee coming, going, saying, well, I told somebody about this.
Right, right. And that does happen. That happens quite frequently. You've got the secretary that sent a document to the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, he told me I was supposed to go there, but that secretary was supposed to be reporting to somebody else. Yeah, certainly you don't want that miscommunication. It's very critical. Number three, probably one of the most critical ones, is educating on the management, the leadership, and what they can expect from the upper levels. You want to know what your team leader, your supervisor, your human resource person, what their responsibilities are. Again, that'll help you when it comes time to, when you do have a situation and you need a question answered, you know where to go with it.
Okay. Right. So do you have an example of what that might look like?
Well, you could define the roles of everybody in the upper level.
Okay.
What's the CEO responsible for? Maybe look at a chain of command. Who reports to who and why they report in that particular order?
Just so we kind of know, yeah, you know, where the players are.
Where the players
if
are.
If there's an issue, who do I go to?
Yes.
Okay.
So number four would be make certain you communicate the key company policies and that they're clearly defined. The last thing you want to do is have muddled information. Somebody said, well, I thought it was this, but it's really this. Mm-hmm. Definition is critical when it comes to understanding what the policies and procedures are for your company.
So there, let me, if I ask on that one, this doesn't have to, it really doesn't have to be real long.
No, it does not. No.
It just needs to be clear and concise.
It has to be clear and concise. Yeah. And keep it consistent. Again, if you're going to produce a handbook, if you don't have one, or if you have one and you want to post some things on the board, make sure that the numbers and the words match.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So then would this be things like, we expect you to be here on time, lunch breaks are this time, or you get X number of minutes for lunch. What is the vacation policy? How do you earn vacation? That kind of stuff we're talking about.
That kind of stuff, but you certainly want to try and separate that. You know, you want to make sure that your bereavement, vacation, and holidays are in a different segment. Don't confuse the employee when it comes time to looking at this. You want to make sure that when that employee pulls a page open, they can understand what you're looking for, what the expectations are, and it's all on the same category. And categorize what you want to post in those handbooks as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. That makes sense to put the, let's call it time off or benefits, really in a benefit
right.
section at that point. Policies in another section. That makes total sense. But again, it
right.
doesn't need to be real elaborate.
No.
Right? It just needs to be clear and concise.
Clear and concise, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Good.
One that I think is very important is showcase your benefits. What
so
do you
this
offer?
Is number five, right?
Yes, number five.
All right.
Showcase your benefits. What do you offer? When do I qualify for them? Who's eligible at what point in time? Those things are important, particularly if you've got a new hire and, you know, insurance and those type of things, all the benefits are pretty important to people right now. 401k
Absolutely.
Match and those type of things. You want to make sure that they have an opportunity to take a look at what you offer. And maybe that's something you talk about prior to hiring when you're going through the interviewing process.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on how deep you want to go. If your interviewing process is, you know, two or three levels, you could bring that up at the second or third level when you maybe start talking about wages and those type of things.
Sure.
But certainly something that you need to have in that handbook. Again, not required, but highly recommended.
Very good.
All right.
Okay. Number six.
Yeah, let's talk about ensuring the compliance with the state and federal laws and mandates. Those are must publications, holidays, and so on. There's several more that we could discuss. I don't want to get into too many of those, but the employee rights need to be in there, what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do based on what the state and federal government said. So earlier I mentioned that, you know, the government doesn't mandate you or force you to have a handbook, but they also force you to publish certain rights for the employee. So why not put it in the handbook? Why not have it
Absolutely.
In an area where everybody can, you know, refer back to it?
Mm-hmm. And keep it concise and it's together and everybody
sure.
knows what we did. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Number seven.
Number seven. We're looking at information that will affect you and them in the event an employee has a claim. We're looking at what you may have to do if you need to get a third party involved, and that actually trickles into number eight as well. But if an employee has an issue and it's in the handbook and it's maybe not quite what their expectations were of that, maybe it wasn't worded correctly,
mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that you have legal counsel take a look at that. Highly recommended. Don't make a mistake about publishing something that is either outdated or maybe not quite what it's supposed to be. We don't want something misconstrued or misread. Emails, for example, people always misinterpret them.
Sure.
If you type in bold, obviously somebody thinks you're yelling at them, which in most cases it's not the truth.
Right.
You want to get it. You want to avoid that. All right. So that leads me into number eight, which is where do I go for help? So if a claim occurs, you need to at least let somebody know that the Department of Labor is available to them, unemployment is available to them, the Unemployment Insurance Office, the EEOC. Those are things that I know you probably get a little nervous thinking about having to publish that, mm-hmm. but it still needs to be there. You want to make sure that the Department of Labor information is in there as well. If it's not in there, employees are going to find a way to research it if they have a certain circumstance that comes up that, you know, maybe they're just not clear on what your expectations are. So they're going to go and find that source. I mean, everybody knows about Google and everything else mm-hmm. that you can find, right. Social media. Somebody's going to drive them to the point of saying, you know what, you've got this claim. Why don't you look here? Cover your bases and make sure that you have that information.
So on this one here, when you say, where do I go, I being the employee or the employer?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
They can be a resource for the employer.
Yes, yes.
But if the employee has a question, it can also be a resource for them.
Yeah, your hope is that you have people that are educated enough to be able to answer whatever the circumstance might be that surfaced. But if it gets too detailed, they also know where to go for resources. I fall back on that quite frequently, constantly looking at the Department of Labor. The EEOC, not so much, but there are certain things that you have to be aware of out there. So,
okay. So as a human resources director, you call them looking for advice.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
In can I do this? Should I not do this type of things? Or how do the policies, how are they interpreted in this? Or what kind of advice do you look for sometimes?
Well, if it gets too intense, we have to determine whether or not we need to get legal counsel involved or where it's going to go from the next level. Again, the fear of having that information out there can go both ways. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is ask the right questions. There are times where I will use OSHA as an example. If you have a safety issue and you were to happen to contact OSHA, what you've done is just open a can of worms for mm-hmm. yourself.
Right.
So you need to be choosy about where you're going with the information, what information you want, make sure you're asking the right questions to the right department.
Mm-hmm. So you probably wouldn't want to call them with a question. Do I really need to use tie-down ropes on those ladders?
Do not call them for that. Do not call them.
Because odds are they're going to come and check on
you,
right?
They're going to come back. Yes,
all right.
They're going to be around.
Good. Excellent. So those are helpful. Where do we go from here then?
Well, there's a variety of things you could do. You can simplify. We talked earlier about you don't have to have a big, broad range of information. You could go as simple as a 2, 5, 8, 10 page manual. You could go 30 or 40 pages deep. The company that I'm currently with, we have about 35 policies that we have listed in our handbook.
Mm. And just for perspective, so the company you're working with today has roughly how many employees?
60 in our corporate office and 147 decentralized.
Okay, so a little bit larger company, but on that one, right, because I was thinking of that question a little bit earlier, is so I've got four.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, so do I need, you know, if that's my company, then is it still a good idea to have this manual?
Yes, yes, just for legal protection. Mm-hmm. Your employees are probably going to look at that and say, you know, why do we need this? And you're going to look back at them and say, I'm here to protect you. I'm mm-hmm. here to help you. I want to make sure that we're all in a good working environment, and this is going to make sure that we stay that way. So whether it's 4 or 400.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of lays out, I mean, some of those earlier things, you know, items 1, 2, and 3 on your list, right? It's what's going to get them excited. Tell them the history of the company. How did we get here? Let them learn a little bit more about who we are.
You know, and you talk about that part of it, Bill. I just read an article prior to coming in today, and it was talking about how the labor market is currently, and the unemployment has been fluctuating so much with what we're going through in the world with mm-hmm. with the pandemic and other things that are taking place. This would, I believe, would help you solidify whether your employees are going to stay or go. You want to look at retention on your employees currently. People are moving around a lot. People are afraid to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
that there's a lot of different scenarios that are out there. Some people can't go to work because they have children and they got to homeschool. To me, I truly believe that this handbook is something that's going to make them feel a little more comfortable coming in every day.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you've listed 8 things that we should really keep in mind when creating this book. Are there other elements that, in general, that we should that should be in there?
I think if you take those 8 topics, you can break them down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to overwhelm their employees.
Right.
But at the same time, you don't want to miss things either. So if you started with that as a starting point, sat down with somebody that maybe is involved with work comp or particularly just labor, whether it's on the legal side or some other resource that you have, that would be a good starting point. Again, don't overwhelm your employees with too much information because they're going to look at that book and say, okay, I read the first 2 pages. Sounds good to me. I don't need to read anymore.
Sure. Okay.
So let's not turn them away. Let's not turn them off.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share a quick experience I had working for a company that did not have an employee handbook. And I can tell you this, a 6-month period that I worked for that company, I was very happy that it only lasted 6 months. Because the changing of the guard was constant. The rules and policies weren't in place, and it was an open book. Everything was allowed, and it was a very it was a poor work culture to be involved in.
Sure.
And whether you have 4 or 400 employees, you want to make sure that the people want to stick around. They want to be part of what you're doing, your success.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because part of the, I think too, if there is no policy in place or handbook in place, right? So we don't know what the rules are. Then the rules keep changing, and if the rules keep changing, I don't know which rule to follow.
And you don't want the double standards. Joe can do this, but Bill can't do that. Mike can do this, but Tom can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly creates a dirty atmosphere for you. I want to go back real quick to the beginning when we talked about how you want to introduce your handbook. A company had been advised to post a mission statement in their lobby. And everybody kind of looked at that and said, well, we don't have a mission statement. And me being in the human resource position, I said, yeah, we do have one. It's in our handbook. And the employees, well, I didn't read that. I don't know that we have that. And I said, well, guess what? We're going to post it. And everybody's going to reread the handbook. And when we're all done rereading that handbook, and you can do it on your time or you can do it on a company time, but I put a time frame out there for them to do so. When we're all done, everybody's going to sign a document that says, I read it, I understand it, I don't necessarily agree with it, but you at least gave me the opportunity to know what the company expectations are. Our mission statement was very important to the company at that point in time because we were transitioning from 18 employees to 60 employees. So.
Massive growth.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I think that companies try to do when they are growing is still keep that mom and pop shop mm-hmm. feel and mentality. And after time, that has to go away. Whether you want it to or not, it has to go away.
Well, that also tends to affect, I think, the professionalism as viewed by the customer.
Somebody walks in a door in your lobby and they see that mission statement, they're going to read it. They're mm-hmm. going to look at it, no matter how you have it posted, whether it's just taped on a wall or you have a nice gold frame around it. They're going to look at that and they're going to say, you know what? These guys, they have a reason to be here. They have a purpose, and this is why they are where they are. So, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe I want to do business with them.
Good. So let me just ask a scenario. So I'm going to go back to that very first one that I had created. And not only did I have some of the policies and where we came from and covered some of that, I didn't call this my handbook.
Okay.
Right. Title on the cover is Who Are We?
Fair enough.
Right. So and my goal with this document was to define who we were as a company and how we did things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually even included stuff, and I'm thinking now it probably wasn't the greatest idea. We don't do it today anymore. But I included things like the branding of our company.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what was the branding? The use of our logo, the color schemes. So, you know, because again, I'm hiring team members, adding them to the team to develop. Part of those is going to be marketing materials to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have consistent branding. Is that a valid place for it, or is it really not appropriate?
I don't know that I would put that in the handbook. I think you could put that in any other policy that you have out there, mm-hmm. Depending on what the individual's role is. Maybe you just hand that out to the marketing people.
Sure.
Not something that the people in shipping and receiving need to know, because they're not going to be using that documentation or that type of procedure. So, again, take a look at what you want to publish. What's going to be the most pertinent in that book?
That's going to apply to everybody on the
team. Apply to everybody
on
the team.
So there were two questions that you brought. Number one, you know, you talked originally about at least every 2 years have this review. Is it important to have this thing dated?
Any revisions? Yes. Any revisions could be dated. And keep in mind, that's a good point, Bill. Keep in mind that an employer can change their handbook at any point in time, and they don't have to publish it, and they don't have to disperse it to the employees. So. Okay. Kind of a double standard, maybe a double-edged sword here, all right? So in the beginning, I'm saying, yeah, you should have this out here, and everybody needs to know what the policies are. If you don't publish it to the employees after making the change, how are they going to know?
Right. There's so interesting. That's those requirements can be confusing, right?
Yes.
I think you'd be best off if you're going to make a revision to let the team know about it.
Any revisions I have ever made in any handbook that I've produced always had been published and redistributed to the employees, along with, again, a document that said they received it.
So based on that, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense then to, you know, I want to, you know, we just got this minor policy change to make an entire change in the handbook if it's not a big change.
Yeah.
Or wait to do it. Like when there's other changes that come along, or what would you recommend?
My recommendation would be, if you're going to make those changes and they're only going to be minor changes, don't republish the book. Mm-hmm. Send a separate page out. When that 2 year comes around, give that to your legal counsel or whoever you're going to go to for advice. Tell them you need that added into the book. You can always keep it in your master copy to make sure you have it. But yeah, there's no need. If you've got a 60-page book and you've got 300 employees, you're certainly not going to reprint it every time you make a change.
Right. Okay. The last question that I have then is, you mentioned that we should give the book to our employees and have them sign it, that they read it, that they understand it, that they don't necessarily agree with it.
Correct.
But you gave me a chance to look at it, I think is what you said, right?
Yes.
Is it a problem if they don't agree with it?
No. And you're not going to get everybody satisfied on everything. I mean, that's the world we live in, right? Some people want black and the other one wants white, right?
Sure.
No, you'll just have to face that when the time comes. I'll give you an example, too. We have, and let me point this out, too, that you have other policies that you can put in that book. Let's say your drug and alcohol policy. Mm-hmm. You can highlight that. A suggestion I received from an attorney not too long ago was either put it in your handbook or have a separate policy, but don't have both, because you don't want those two crossing each other.
Mm-hmm.
All right? We chose...
So, and if I understand you correctly, if you're going to address, for example, a drug and alcohol policy, it should either be in the handbook or the separate policy, but don't cover it here and then add to it in the separate policy.
Right, because you might have two things going on.
Okay.
And again, those are the things that can change. Where I was going to go with this was, we had an employee after we published our drug and alcohol policy, and it was a relatively new hire. After about 3 months, he came to me and he said, you know, I reread that drug and alcohol policy, and I'm not sure I agree with it. You know, I'm 50 plus years old, and if I want to go out and have a beer or two on Sunday night, I shouldn't have to worry about coming to work Monday morning with, you know, a little bit of alcohol smell on my breath. And I said, you know, it's a free country. You can do whatever you want, however you want. But our rules say that if there's reasonable suspicion, we have the right to have you tested. And if you test positive, we have the right to terminate. Now, you can disagree with that all you want, but that's the rule for everybody here.
So, and that's the key, I think, right? Is you can disagree with it, but you just got to follow it.
You have to follow it. And if you don't, here are the ramifications. Mm-hmm. So you may face that.
Sure.
You may face that. And again, I talked earlier a little bit about just a quick snippet on safety. You may have to have a separate safety manual, too, again, depending on your company size or what your company produces or what type of work you're doing. Certainly wouldn't be a bad idea to have that in place, particularly with OSHA. OSHA has, in the past several years, lost all of their government funding, and they are going to do everything they can to generate revenue.
Sure.
They have employees they have to pay as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to mention the dollar figure, but when they do walk in your door, whether they find something wrong or not, it's going to cost you some money.
Sure.
So have your ducks in a row with that as well. And maybe that'll be another segment you and I can talk about in the future.
Yeah, I would agree. Because that's a big, heavy topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It might be applicable, and see if I understand this, you know, to address safety,
yes,
but make it as simple as following all safety procedures as outlined in our safety handbook.
Yes. Unless you choose not to have a separate manual or a separate mm-hmm. handbook, then I would say let's define it to the best, to the closest possible way that you can make sure that the employees follow everything.
Sure.
Safety shoes, safety glasses, make sure that when you're in this area, your tie is tucked in, those type of things. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to have a regular manual, then I would highly recommend let's put it in a handbook.
Okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
Well, very good. Man, there's a lot of good information here again, just in this last little bit. Any last thoughts that you have, Mike, that would help us in this arena?
I think for me, going back again to the beginning, let's start that handbook out so the employees look at that and say, wow, this is a company I want to stay with. I like what they're saying. I like what they're doing. I like how they got here. If I follow the rules, I could probably stay here till retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure any documents that you have, regardless of what they are, get a signature. Put it in their file. Have a separate file for that. It doesn't have to necessarily go on their employee file.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep a file separate for safety and drug and alcohol and so on, you can do that. Whatever you feel is you're comfortable with. There's no real guidelines other than in your hiring process, the I-9 form has to be a separate document in a separate location. Otherwise, everything else can be where you feel comfortable with it, where it's at your easy access, mm-hmm. I guess is where I'm going with that. So.
Sure. Okay. And bottom line, as you said, lay it out. Make sure it makes sense to everybody. And again, I think that as business owners, we don't like to look at it or necessarily deal with it. But the time you're going to really wish you had that handbook is when you're already in trouble.
You may look at it and say, you know what? It's just like a human resource person. They're a necessary evil. You have to have them.
So are you saying you're a necessary evil,
I
Mike?
Can say that, yes. And I say that with pride.
But I know that your employer is happy to have you there. You keep them out of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, this has certainly been some good, solid information here, Mike. We appreciate your coming in, being a part of this discussion with us.
Well, thanks for having me back. And if there's anything else I can help your staff with, I'm here.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.